Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin, and our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
About four more points that I want to share about the tool of repentance as a spiritual warfare weapon. And remember what spiritual warfare is. I think sometimes we mysticize it, which means we make it so it's not something that we can tangibly understand. But remember, spiritual warfare really is the act of resisting the enemy and removing from his control the things that he has tried to control in our lives. That's really what spiritual warfare is. It's not just rebuking the powers of the air, it's also pushing him back from territories that he feels he has a right to. And in order to do that, we have to consistently stay in the vein or the flow of the Holy Spirit so that God can direct us on how to fight the enemy. Because the reality is we cannot fight the devil in our own natural understanding. We are no match for him because he's old. He's been around for a long time, but also he's seen a lot, and he knows that people are just predictable. And if he puts out a trap, he knows that you will eventually fall for it. So we have to always remember that we're no match for the enemy by ourselves, but with God, we can do all things. Amen? Amen. So let me lay out these last few points. The first one is, as we repent, God restores us to be in right standing with him. Repentance stops, like I said, it stops all the foolishness around us in sin and then gives us a position right back to where we are supposed to be. The whole purpose of Jesus dying on the cross was to replace us back into a position where we can now have a full relationship with God. No longer worried about sin and all of its ramifications, but Jesus, having wiped that away, gave us the right, as the Bible says, now we can come boldly to the throne of grace and ask for help in time of trouble. How can we come boldly? Because we've repented. We've washed ourselves, and now we can come boldly. Now, that's not a privilege that the children of Israel had. If you recall, if you go back to the temple years, the only person that could ever go into the Holy of Holies was who? The high priest. Not just the priest, only the high priest. And he could only do it once a year. And he had to come in there with incense. And the incense is a symbol of the prayers of the saints. The Bible says that in Revelation. Because he had to be covered with prayer so that he couldn't be seen in his natural appearance, if you will. Are you with me here? And so this is what repentance does. It removes all the junk that we have put upon our lives and allows us to walk into a place of right standing or righteousness with God. A lot of people, and I've heard this a lot over my years, is a lot of people will say stuff like, well, I'm not really in the position where God can use me. Have you heard people say stuff like that? And the reason why is either they haven't repented. Okay, let's just deal with that one. Or they don't understand the power of repentance. Because once you have accepted Christ and you've gotten all the other stuff out of the way, there is nothing to keep you from going into the presence of God. There's nothing to keep you, the enemy from you trying to get at you. Right. See, once you confess everything that you know about, there's nothing that the enemy has to hold against you. He only can hold those things that are present in your life. And that's why Jesus said, of course, Jesus was perfect and he had no sin, but he said, Satan has come, but he doesn't have anything in me. We can actually say that when we have literally repented of all of our faults. So repentance draws us back into right standing with God. Let me go to Revelation 3:1-6 real quickly, just to confirm that point. Because notice every time Jesus says, and those that repent, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, therefore, if you watch, verse 3 says, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. And then he goes on to say, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father who is in heaven. In other words, once you get that stuff out of your life, I will do a great thing for you, because there's nothing to block me from doing what I'm supposed to do in your life. Are you with me here? This is the power of repentance. Next point is that Once we repent, it restores our power over the devil. See, a lot of people are afraid of the devil. Amen? And I used to be in that camp. I used to be terrified. Like I saw there was a new Exorcist movie coming out. Did you guys see that? I'm not obviously interested in seeing it. But I just saw that. But when the old Exorcist came out, I couldn't even watch the commercials. I was so afraid of the movie. And let alone go to the movie. I turned the channel when the commercials came. And I wasn't saved, so I had no idea that God had given me power over the devil. But when you repent and your life has now been made new, as the Bible says, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You no longer have to fear the devil, because he doesn't have anything in you anymore. He can't use anything against you. He can bring up all the old stuff. He says, nope, I've repented of that. You did this. Yep, and God forgave me of that. And you did this, and God forgave me of that. So what else you got? Well, you do this. No, God has already forgiven me for that. And if he didn't, Lord, I ask you to forgive me right now. Now you don't have anything on me. You see how that works? So the devil has no power over us. We have power over him. And James says in James 4:7-10, it says, therefore, submit to God. And we remember repentance is the process of submitting to God, all right? Resist the devil, and what will happen? He will flee from you. Everybody say, he will flee from you. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. All that has to do with repentance. Cleanse your hands. In other words, get the dirt off your hands, not physical. Get the physical dirt off too, but get the spiritual dirt off your hands. Don't go before God with uncleanness in any way. If you go back, and this is the beauty of reading the Old Testament, God was so meticulous about how they came into his presence. He killed two of Aaron's sons because they were playing in his presence. Killed them. They came in there with incense when they weren't supposed to have it, and he struck them down dead. You might say, whoa, that's tough. No, when he tells you to do something, you just do it. You don't say, ah, I can do it any old way I want to do it. That's what got them in trouble. So when God tells us to repent or humble ourselves, then we should humble ourselves. And once we humble ourselves, we could resist the devil, and the devil has to flee. See, a lot of times we cry out the name of Jesus, but have we done the other work to get the enemy to flee from us? In other words, have we submitted our lives to God fully? Have we allowed God to take control of our tongues, our lives, and so we know what to say to the enemy so that he no longer has power over us? Next point is that when we repent, it helps us in the process of renewing our mind. Now, this is going to take some thinking, so stay with me. So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, and we're going to stay there for the next point as well. So when you repent, see, and I've said this over and over, but sin is so tricky, and it has gotten us to believe things that are not true. Am I right? Look at what the world is pushing now, the kinds of things that are in the world. First, they tried to say that it was okay for just anybody to get married. Remember that one? And now they're trying to say that, well, nobody's really born a male or a female. That's just a psychological or a societal definition. And if you don't want to be a man, even though you are a man, you can be a woman if you want to. That's what's going on. Now, all of us just hear that and say, you got to be kidding, right? I mean, don't you hear, when you hear this stuff, don't you say, you got to be kidding? They don't really believe this, do they? But they do. And they believe it so strongly, they're now trying to implement laws to make sure you know they believe it by saying, and you can't counsel anybody who has this, what they call it, genderphoria, out of that lifestyle. Now, that's even crazier. Because just 10 years ago, gender dysphoria was a mental condition. Just like 30 years ago, homosexuality was considered to be a mental condition. But they keep taking them out of the mental disease books and trying to put them in our textbooks. But so repenting, the process of going through your mind to go step by step to find out where you have accepted lies of the enemy as truth, is the process of renewing your mind. So let's look at 10:3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." So let's stop there. Pulling down strongholds. Now, what's a stronghold? A place where the devil has a foothold. It's a place where you struggle in. It's a struggle of your life. Sometimes the devil has gotten a foothold. Sometimes we've believed things that have put us into his stronghold. And that's why all the Bible talks about don't believe old wives' tales. Have you seen that in the scripture? Especially the old King James versions. I don't know how much the new versions use the word wives' tales, but wives' tales are nothing more than traditions that are not based on the truth of scripture. Okay? So wives' tales, if you want to put it in the Pharisaical language, are just traditions. Okay? Are you guys with me here? And we all have been subject to wives' tales. Should I? We've already gone through some of these. Should I go through a couple of them? Ooh, my feet are itching. That must mean I'm getting ready to go somewhere. You guys heard that one before? Oh, my hand's itching. That means I'm going to get some money. Yeah, my ears are itching. That means somebody's talking about me. My ears are ringing. All those are wives' tales that have gone through tradition. And sometimes we make fun of them, but some people really believe this stuff. And in order to break that stronghold that, oh, your feet are itching, so no, maybe you just need to clean them. How's that? You know, you might have athlete's foot. That might be making them itch. Ain't got nothing to do with you going anywhere. But see, that kind of thinking has to be broken. I know you might say, Pastor, that's a little thing. I know it's a little thing. But little things build on, make bigger things. You believe a foolish thing there, then something else that happens becomes easier to believe. So the Bible says that we have to pull down strongholds. All right? The next verse says, cast down arguments. The old King James says, cast down imaginations. So however you want to do, argument or imagination is something that is trying to convince you of something. Okay? An argument, when you argue with people, truly argue, not just back and forth argue, but a true argument, it means you're trying to persuade somebody to a certain position. That's what they say when we, as lawyers, go to court, we argue our case. Well, we're not just saying, well, he did this. No, he did it. No, he did it. That's just regular people arguing. Yeah, that's bickering. But argument is a persuasive tool that is trying to convince somebody else to believe the position that you've taken. Specifically in that case, that's the judge. So we have to learn to get rid of arguments and cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. So in order to identify the good and the bad thoughts, when the thoughts start to come and you start to think something that you shouldn't think, you have to repent. You have to cut it off. And then you say, Lord, forgive me for thinking that. And Lord, I don't want to buy into that belief system. You know, right now, the stronghold in the world is, you know, of course, I've talked about, but evolution is a stronghold now. You guys remember evolution, you guys remember the Scopes monkey trial? I don't know if you guys know that anything about that. But there was a movie called Inherit the Wind, I think it was. And that trial was about a guy who tried to teach evolution in the face of most people believing in creationism. And that was in the 30s, I believe. And look how we flipped the switch on that one. Now, everybody's teaching evolution, and the people that are trying to teach creationism can't get in the door. And all the DNA discoveries are throwing evolution out the window. Of course, evolution was a nonsensical theory anyway, because like I said, the scripture says only things that are of its kind bear itself. In other words, animals, horses are horses. Cows are cows. You can't mate a cow and a horse and come up with a course. You might come up with one, but it won't be able to reproduce itself. Okay? But if you talk to people who believe in evolution, that will just blow their mind because they haven't even thought of it like that. But it's not possible for an ape to be a man because men and apes don't procreate together. And it just would stop at the first one. But we don't think about that. Even this talk about the gene, and I don't want to get into biology, but when they used to try to identify the homosexual gene, you remember that talk? Well, even if there was ever one, it stopped with the two homosexuals who had it because they don't procreate. You get it? You get me? But see, that's foolish talk. That has created a stronghold in the minds of the world. Now, this is the world, but the church has began to embrace some of this stuff. So we have to repent of those kinds of thinking so that they don't take a stronghold in our lives. And then we have to allow the Holy Spirit to renew our mind and think like God wants us to think. That's the process. That's how repentance gets us, breaks strongholds, and then helps us to renew our minds. Now, another thing, habits, every one of us have had a habit of some kind. Amen? Some of them stronger than others, but we've all had them. One of the habits we have, you know, when we, especially as we age, we have the habit of not being active anymore. And that becomes a stronghold. That's how come we get fatter in our older age. You know, when we were kids, our metabolism burned because we were always doing something. But now, we're always doing nothing. And so when we try to get into the groove, and I'm just using the minor example, but when we try to get into the groove of the exercise, notice how difficult it is to keep the habit of exercise going. Hey, look, that's not your secret, that's mine too. I get up every Tuesday morning and fight myself in my mind, say, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do that. I look at the clock, it's only going to take 45 minutes, Harold. Get to it. Stop putting it off. Stop trying to check your phone and look on over there and get this. You know, just get to it. But that's the natural battle if you're just trying to get into shape. And it's still sometimes like, man, I've been doing this for a while and I'm not getting the results. You still have to fight. Yeah. Well, it's the same in the spiritual realm. Habits in the natural, in your flesh, don't yield easily. So you have to become ruthless with them. That's why fasting is such a great habit breaker. If you do fasting right, if you fast, pray, and seek God, especially about that habit that you're trying to break. You know, the more I've been reading about nutrition and trying to eat better, the more I see people say, and you should fast periodically. And I say, these aren't even Christian folk. And God, Jesus said this to us, and sometimes we don't get it, but we get it here at this church because we do fast here. He says, they asked him, how come your disciples don't fast and all the Pharisees and John's disciples? And what did Jesus say to him? He said, look, I'm here. What do they need to fast for? Well, you fast to draw closer to God. God is standing next to you. I'm as close as I can get to him. He says, but there's going to be a time where I'm going to be taken away. And then he said, what did he say after that? And then they will fast. You get that? So we know we need to be fasting. Now, I don't say this to brag. I just say this to know, let you know. I have a habit of fasting at least twice a week. Not a whole day, but at least a half a day. You have to be in a habit to fasting. And then when you do the longer fast, it's not such a strain. Because you're in a habit. You might say, well, what is the habit? Well, just fast. Don't eat in the morning one morning. And I do it on church days. So I do it on Wednesday and I do it on Sunday. I don't do it on Saturday. When we had church Saturday night, I used to do it on Saturday night when I preached. But whenever I try to, if I'm going to be preaching, I usually try to fast. So I can take some time to hear God. But it also cleanses your body. Of things. That's why the people that are in the nutrition, they're saying, you know, we need a body cleanse so fast. Well, the same thing is spiritually, we have to cleanse our minds. And the way you cleanse your mind is you renew your mind. And see, this is the second step of the renewing. You pull down all these crazy thoughts that you used to have, but then you fill it back up with God's word. You can't have it one without the other. You can't renew your mind without the word. Amen? So you have to start to think like the word tells you to think. That means you have to know what the word says in order you can think like the word says. That's why a lot of people who are negative, and sometimes Christians can be negative, you don't always agree with their negatives. This is going to happen. Well, I'm not sure if that, you know, I don't know if that's true. Well, this always, well, you know, I'm not sure if I can agree with that. And that's why even, anyway, I don't want to go into that too deeply, but renewing your mind, repentance helps the process, or it is the step-by-step process of renewing your minds. And the last point is to help demolish strongholds. In the modern warfare, it's very difficult for strongholds to exist anymore because of precision bombing. If you go back to a World War II movie, they called it precision bombing, but they just bombed the whole cities. They just go and bomb, and they would go at a target, and they'd bomb around it, and they miss it. Now they put in the coordinates, and then they send the missile. There is no, we missed it. We got it. And now you can watch it from your home television. Oh, yeah, they got it. So strongholds in that way, in other words, enemy, but now they're going underground. The Iranian missile program, the Korean missile programs, the reason why they can't take them out is because they're underground. Because they knew if they were above ground, they could be taken out. And I'm using that as an analogy. The strongholds that we have to demolish comes through first acknowledging that you have to change. You demolish a stronghold by making it out, putting it out in the open. Strongholds operate in our lives because we keep them secret. Amen? People who have a drug problem, they don't tell everybody, do they? They keep it a secret. People who watch pornography, they don't watch it. Come on, kids. Come on, let's gather at the television. Let's all watch my pornographic movie. No, they don't do that. They get off to themselves and they watch it secretly. And as long as you keep your stronghold secret, you cannot demolish it. But as soon as you expose it, then you can start to work on it. And this is what repentance does, is it exposes things so that it could be put out in the open and worked upon. If you, as a believer, and this, listen to this, you cannot have a secret life. You cannot, if you're trying to live this thing right, you cannot have a dual life. You cannot be a hypocrite in church and doing all you want to do at home. You can't do that and really, truly be serving the Lord Jesus. Because if you're living like that, sooner or later, God is going to expose you and you're going to be embarrassed and you're going to be taken to task for your double life. You might say, well, Pastor, I know people that have gone on long time with double lives. They haven't really. They usually just change venues when they get caught. That's why a lot of the preachers that were doing double things, they got exposed. God will only allow you to do what you're doing, living a double life for so long, because he's trying to get you to repent. Repent. Turn your life around. Go tell somebody about your situation. Get it out. Because he says what is in the darkness is going to be exposed in the light. So either you expose it or he will. Amen? So when you're trying to destroy strongholds, the first step is, Lord, to acknowledge that you have it and stop pretending that you don't. Once you start acting like, Lord, I know I got this. I don't know what to do with it. Now he can start chipping away at it. But as long as you say, no, I got it. I can stop when I want. Watch, look, I could do it just right now. I can stop. I'm not doing it right now. That's how you convince yourself. And that's going back to renewing your mind. You're lying to yourself. And you'll never be free trying to hide stuff. And that's why I make it a practice to tell my wife everything that I'm doing. I don't have to tell God, although I talk to God about that too. But if I'm doing something, if I'm going to meet with somebody, I'm getting ready to go meet with somebody, sometimes she'll say, I'm going with you. And sometimes I say, you don't got to go. I mean, you know. But sometimes she does. Why? Because I don't want to fall into any trouble or even be accused of not doing something that I didn't do. Because that happens too, you know. Amen? So my point is, repentance brings out the stronghold so that the enemy doesn't have anything to continue to use against you. See, what happens is if you don't get the things out of your life that you know about, and I'm not talking about stuff you don't know about, I'm talking only about the stuff you know about, he will continue to keep you in bondage to that thing because he will continue to say, you can't tell anybody about this because as soon as you do, they're going to hate you or they're going to call you a hypocrite or you're not going to be accepted in the church or you're not going to, all these things he says, but that's a lie because he knows that as soon as you get it out there, he's going to be exposed. Amen? These are the tricks of the enemy. And this is how you demolish strongholds in your lives. Stop pretending that they don't exist. Our family members, our bad past. You know, people, you know, what do they call that? Suppressive memory. People have denied it for so long, now they don't even remember if it really did happen. But they know it happened because it's affecting them. You know what I mean? But that's because the enemy kept that stronghold hidden. And why is it that every time you go to a true counselor, the first thing they want to do is bring it out. Get it out. Identify what it is so that the enemy can no longer use it against you. That's what Jesus meant by he has come and he doesn't have anything in me. That's what that means. When we get it out, the enemy can't use it against us anymore. Amen? Well, I'm done. But this is the power of repentance. This is what repentance will do for you. You don't have to be struggling anymore. You just have to say, look, you have to be careful. If you're going to tell somebody about your problem, find somebody that's mature enough to handle it. I have talked to people that have murdered people and they couldn't tell everybody that, you know, I had committed a murder when I was young. Some folks would have never talked to them. Said, don't let him come to your house. I mean, obviously they were transformed, but they couldn't tell that to everybody. Amen? So you can't tell everybody, but you have to tell somebody. Amen? And if you're not sure about who it is, pray about it. Ask God, God, I've got this issue. Who can help me with this issue? And when they tell you, don't tell anybody about it unless they tell you to tell somebody about it. You have to be a keeper of secrets, not secrets to the detriment. And I'm not talking about, this is not what I'm talking about. This is some things people do this, and I know this doesn't happen here as much because our church isn't that big. But somebody has a secret crush on somebody else, but they're not married. They're married to somebody else, but they have a crush on somebody else. And so they tell the person that they have a crush, you know, I want to confess that I have a crush. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's just a lie you need to get out of your mind. Because you don't have a crush on somebody that you're not married to when you're married. Okay? I mean, the enemy may play that game with you, but that's a lie. Amen? You don't play that game, but I'm talking about when you're trying to get free from something, not try to tell people your intimate secrets. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being free. Pastor, I'm struggling with this, and I need you to help me to be accountable. Pastor, I need to learn to forgive somebody in my life, and I don't know how to, and I need you to walk me through this because they really hurt me and I don't know what to do. That's what I'm talking about. Are you with me here? So this is what, if you take the word and apply it to your heart, these things will be, you'll be free from this stuff. And you'll be able to, God will be able to use you in a greater measure than you've ever thought possible. Amen? Amen. I know I said I was done, so let's stand. Father, we thank you, Father, because you have given us the weapons to be able to combat every plan of the enemy and every work of our flesh. You've given us the weapons to defeat them. So, Lord, I thank you that you said in your word that he who the Son has set free is truly free indeed. And so, Lord, we're progressing towards that freedom. And I pray that everything that would stop us from being free, that you would remove those things. Set us free, Lord, mind, body, and spirit, that there be no bondages, no chains on us anymore, but that we've been made free by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Thank you, Father, that you've given us repentance as a tool to be free. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to use this tool so that we now don't allow the enemy to take control of our lives anymore. Thank you. And Lord, I pray that this word be sealed in our hearts, that you would help us to meditate on this so that we could use it for our benefit and grow thereby. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.